You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
That's what they say. Wait, you already started recording?
I started recording.
One second. I like you fresh.
I don't have
my headphones in.
Put them in.
Well, it's not as simple as that.
How could it not be as simple as that?
Because hang on, vamp for a sec.
Okay, everybody. I'm gonna act cool. I'm not gonna lose my composure about the idea that there is something more complex to plugging in headphones than plugging it in. I'm gonna put myself into a relaxed state of mind where I don't.
It's way complex. You don't get it.
My co-host of 23 years, radio veteran Eric, can't plug in his headphones. We call them cans in the industry.
Right. Big cans, big sweaty cans. What are we talking about this week?
It's up to you. We can
Andrew Tate.
We can talk about Andrew Tate. Look. Why do you do this? Like,
why do I do
why
what?
Why do you make me defend dudes like this?
Why do I make you defend dudes like this?
You put these articles out in the world that are so dishonest that then I got to jump out and defend dudes that I have nothing in common with, don't want any connection with. But when you let the Alex Joneses of the world burn as witches, you're undermining your own ability to have a fair chance moving forward, right?
So no one wants that, though. No, but like, nobody wants that, right?
People want to be treated like little, like children and abused, and yeah,
yes,
it's so upsetting, man. Because check this out, I didn't know a thing about this Andrew Tate dude except I saw him on a podcast once. The podcast people had the right energy where they just fed into everything that he said in a way that didn't challenge him in any meaningful way. So you just let the dude talk, and it was entertaining as hell.
Yeah.
I don't know a thing about him otherwise, except I saw a bunch of videos of him on a boat and he was talking some bullshit. You and I saw him, like when he was talking some like shit about being like a high earning person or something, whatever the fuck.
We were hanging out on the boat with him.
Our time on the boat with him, I thought was pretty rewarding. I didn't notice anything weird about him. Yes, there was a bunch of Romanian models. Yes, they were chained to the boat, but I don't judge the other people's cultures. So
comes with the territory. You gotta get with it. You know, you gotta act like you've been there. You know,
yeah, precisely. So here's the thing. This dude was taken off of social media platforms of Facebook and anything owned by Meta. He was taken off of for extreme misogyny or his connection to the idea that misogynists will take it. Basically, he was jammed up on a double standard that I hope that he goes legal. If he's got money, I hope he goes legal with it, because on any given day you can find – on Instagram, someone wearing a, you know, Hate All Men World Tour 2022 shirt, right? Now, I'm not an idiot. I don't suppose they're being literal. They love their father. They probably got a boyfriend that's a total fucking cuck that just like simpers in the fucking corner while his fucking girlfriend wears shirts about how much she hates men. It's the same fucking act we've seen a million times. Like, Twitter, where it's like women hating men, or the big one for a long time, it was like a joke. Like, you and I have a mutual friend who lives kind of, he's a white dude, but he's deep into the indigenous shit, right? And
I don't have any white friends.
It was a joke in that community that all of the influencers in indigenous, at that time it was Instagram, et cetera. They would all go on these rants about how they hated white men and this, that, and the other thing, but they all had white boyfriends. It was like an unspoken like gag, right? Like that everybody kind of knew, but nobody challenged at the time. Everybody had a white boyfriend. We understand these things aren't literal, just as I didn't think that Andrew Tate was literal, right? But
what did he even say? What was the thing that got everyone's goat?
Okay. So I thought that there was something about him being involved in human trafficking. And I just went to this article that is incredibly biased from the New Zealand Herald, which leads with extreme misogynist, in quotations, Andrew Tate shuts money-making scheme after global ban. Okay. So this dude had some like pyramid scheme of virality called Hustlers University.
That sounds like something we made up.
Shit. It's fucking crazy. But okay, so he has said things like women belong in the home, women can't drive, and women are a man's property. If these are the most upsetting things that you can pull from this dude, you're going to have to also ban Staten Island from fucking social media.
This is. I think a lot of people would want us to ban Staten Island.
He has said that it is not okay for a woman to be raped, but if she was, she must bear some responsibility. Now, this is a hatcheted quote, so I don't know the context of it at all. If he's trying to intone a thing that second wave feminists say every single day, which is that the obligation of self-defense falls on the individual, and that women have to be aware of their surroundings, et cetera, you might find these ideas distasteful, but they're not like crazy, right? Like moms would tell you, like, what are you doing? Like, don't go in a van with that man. Don't, if he's on that tip, which is just mom shit, mom advice, that's one thing. If he's saying, I don't, you know, to be totally frank, I don't even know what he could say here that would be beyond past distasteful and into inciting violence, right? I don't see anything here that's inciting violence. So, the British, the Brits who love sending people to jail on thought crimes, they have organizations that are saying that this has concerning effects on young men. I would say, Eric, yes, undoubtedly. So does pornography. I don't know if you can really ban these things simply because they have ill effects, right? So,
also, I'm just like, I've always kind of disputed the notion that like, how do you know what people are pulling away from this? Like, can you break down the percentage of what people, like, I would think in this day and age, I mean, there's probably a generational aspect to it too, but I would think most, especially young people, when they hear someone saying something to the effect of like, well, what was she wearing? I think most people would go, ooh, that's gross.
Yes.
Right? So like, I don't understand this whole thing of like, well, he's having a negative influence on young men. It's like, how do you know that? How do you know most young men aren't listening to this guy going, sounds like a jackass?
Right. Or I agree with everything he said, except for this. Right. Which is right. a fair thing that adults can do.
Yeah. I just don't buy the notion that like, we know, like you can measure someone's influence and what they have. Like, I've said it a million times before. I mean, like, I would watch Alex Jones out of like sheer curiosity. And every time I'd watch him, I'd be like, this guy's fucking batshit. But to the outside observer, I'm just like a number in his viewership. And for whatever reason, you presume that those numbers are all like, yeah, it's not the case. You don't know that. Now, like, sure, there are some that probably ride with it, but like, I don't know what you do with that necessarily. Like, they would have. Take banning Andrew Tate, it's like that idea of like, well, what was she wearing? Like that fucking like idiot redneck bullshit. Like,
but I don't even know that that's what he's saying. I guess we can take it in good faith that this dude is like an asshole, a provocateur. It's not outside of something that he may say. That's so let's just operate like he said it. That's fine. But like, yeah, why are we assuming so little of each other that we can't say, or why are we denying each other our personhood and saying, yeah, people are allowed to have bad thoughts. They're allowed to think things that I think are bad or stupid. So that might be the theme of this episode. Podcasts were given a lot of really dry podcasts were given a lot of ammo the last couple days with Sam Harris. Yeah. So we'll get into that and we'll try to be funny. It's not like a funny topic, but we'll do our best.
Wait, what did Sam Harris do?
After Andrew Tate. Let me go in on Tate.
All right, we're still going on Tate, man. I don't even, I like, honestly, before, if anyone, I mean, it's kind of funny. We should talk about the people that typically listen to this podcast, because I've met a number of them across, you know, the last month or so. But it's like, if anyone wants to take any issue with anything we're saying about Andrew Tate, I know so little about what the fuck this is. Like, I know he said some things that people didn't like, and I know he got banned. Couldn't pick the guy out of a lineup. It's just another, this is like another hallmark of like how fucking tired everything is. Like, we've been doing this dance for years. Nothing pops anymore. No one cares. But anyway, go on.
His university has 127,000 members. With boys as young as 13, paying $75 a month to be part of his war room. You know, this dude's lit. Stop.
That's kind of, I mean, the marketing. You can't deny that.
How were we not part of Tate's war room prior to this?
Look, man, I we've been doing this podcast, as you said, for 23 years. Our numbers are not bad, but they're not great. Now, did this guy just got like six figure numbers? Like, where did this guy come from? No one knew who he was last Sunday.
So that's the question that a lot of people have about. So the joke that people are making right now is, wait, this guy got banned. I thought he was working for Facebook the way that they pushed him on me. Right. And
yo,
so YouTube, I can confirm he was all over YouTube, unavoidable. TikTok, I'm not. Well, I actually have a TikTok now to promote comic book stuff, but I haven't looked at it. So, but presumably he was all over TikTok too. Apparently, that's where he's not on TikTok, but his clips, the virality of his clips on TikTok, apparently are next level, like really high level virality.
How does this happen?
That's the thing. He feels like a plant, but then they kicked his legs out, Epstein style.
Well, it's a pre-written narrative. It's just like a wrestling storyline. It's like, you know, like I don't buy it anymore, man. Like, how does this shit just appear and then like have a little story of its own and then go like, where does this come from? It doesn't make any sense. How can this guy just pop up overnight? I don't get it. CIA.
One of two things. CIA or people were really excited to hear the truth.
But see, that's the thing. Like, he's not saying anything that like any of the, like, there's, you go on YouTube and you can pick your fucking poison when it comes to these like red pill guys. There's like a bajillion of them. And this guy just can't, like, he sprung up overnight and he popped. I don't know. Like, I don't feel like he's saying anything that some of these red pill motherfuckers haven't been saying for like 6 years now.
I think that he was more blatant and had like more of a, I'm on a boat getting a dick suck sort of energy. You know what I mean? Because when you hear this stuff from like a pure fucking incel, you're kind of like, eh, I don't know. But seeing this bald-headed playboy really live the life, I'm in. I'm part of the hustle. I'm part of the hustle. Like, is university. I'm one of the 176,000.
He feels like Gavin to me. He feels like, and I understand that there's a distinction. There's definitely a difference. Like, Gavin is just trying to, Gavin's like a pure troll in the sense that I think he says a lot of things just to like get a rise out of people. That's kind of his whole snark and smarm, right? So, but in terms of the content of what's being said, I guarantee Gavin has said shit like this.
I don't know. Well, Gavin, I watched a Gavin clip the other day where he's on some like, you know, like some very traditional, oh, we got to get into the fucking Ben Shapiro's a slut thing later. that's like the best radio I've seen in a long time. Okay. So he's on some like Catholic trad shit lately, which he thinks is punk. The craziest thing is, God, when you're old, you start thinking that anything that you do because you always saw yourself as a punk dude is punk. You know what I mean? So like when you go like Cath trad, you're like, yeah, it's really the rawest thing you can do, bro. It's like against society. And it's like, well, something not being popular isn't the same as like it being counterculture. Well,
going like Catholic trad as a reaction to like, I don't know, wokeness. Like, I suppose that's counter, you know, like, is that fair to say?
Yeah, I suppose it is. And I also think like, I don't completely disregard the argument that there's something like, I hate the term punk rock. Like when you say something is punk rock, it's like, I seriously reach for the nearest implement that you, I could give you to kill yourself. It's like such a fucking, like you just a corn dick motherfucker. But corn I dip. Don't completely disregard the idea that, there is in circles that are typically associated with punk, like, so let's say progressive circles, leftist circles, et cetera, there is a calcification of ideas that is so antithetical to what the idea of punk, right? Like in people's minds, like, oh yeah, it's against authority, all that bullshit. Like if that is what it's truly supposed to be or aspires to be, then I would say that punk is the least fucking punk thing in the world. Right. So I understand that argument, but I don't know if traditional, I don't know if like becoming orthodox is necessarily like this finger in the eye of that fucking establishment, you know? So whatever. All these people are just doing their best to maintain, to prevent ego death after they've been mildly notable for a while. And they all do this. It's like a desperate cloying thing. Nobody can just go live on the side of a mountain. It's impossible. Like even the guys with money can't just not be them, which I think like I kind of respect, right? Like I, like, you know yourself, you know that you can't go have a quiet life. You have to be this person that, cause I feel that like, I think that, you know, when we got that listener, a friend of mine who works in national security, who was just like, yeah, look, like you can just be destroyed in a moment online. Like your life can sure. be over. It's infinite downside potential with limited upside potential. No smart person would do it. It's like politics. Like, why do we not get any smart politicians? Because the only people that are drawn to that are people who want their life scrutinized in an unsustainable way. Right. So like you're getting people who are like, they probably have more advantages than a common criminal, but they're essentially dumb people. And the smart people would be going into finance or other places where they can insulate themselves and make a lot of money while having, relatively speaking, a quiet life. Right. So we can't resist though. There's something about it. Like that's why you and I do a podcast. We're chasing the dragon of you getting recognized in a Whole Foods.
We are brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular ones like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. No fuss, no mess. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Tailored to your schedule, customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head over to factormeals.com/worstpossible50 and use code worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code worstpossible50 at factormeals.com/worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We thank Factor for sponsoring the show.
Oh, I have lost Eric. Hold on, everybody. Eric is he's in the Event Horizon Starship, currently going through a black hole.
You know, anything about doing a podcast is when the fucking internet decides to be dog shit skin. And I can't hear you.
There you are. I lost you.
Yeah, there you are. Yeah, what'd you say? You said the thing when we do a podcast.
We are chasing that high of you getting recognized in a Whole Foods.
Yeah, yeah, totally. That's what it's all about. Yeah. It's we're just chasing the dragon of that getting recognized by a guy playing the metal show up the block. Shout out to him. Thank you, dear listener. I've oft said the genesis of all man's problems is the inability to sit in a room alone quietly. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, listen, part of the thrill is like of putting yourself out there is knowing that you're, I mean, maybe not for everybody, but like, I think there is some element of like, you open yourself to the slings and arrows. Listen, Andrew Tate's probably jerking off to all the people to get like, I think people chase. This has been, and I think this has been the case for a minute now, but people are chasing cancelization. Like they want it, right? Like Andrew Tate has become bigger overnight by virtue of the fact of him getting booted from Instagram and Twitter or whatever it was, Instagram and Facebook. Like they want that shit. It's the same with the fucking Trump raid. Like Trump is begging you to go through his fucking underwear drawer.
Please raid
me. Please raid me. Like, it's and dude, I wish we learned this. Donald Trump rode a rocket ship of hate to the highest office in land. There really is no such thing as bad publicity. Like if you have the guts and you have the balls to just ride it, you'll come out the other end still alive. And like, yeah, sure, maybe a lot of people will hate you, but a lot of people will be like, you know what? This guy's on to something. Let me become part of his war room and give him $20 a month. And now compound that over 100,000 people, $20 a month. You've made this guy's career. You know, you've affirmed his existence with all your vitriol. So congratulations. Like, you got what you wanted. But like, that's another like what we were talking about earlier. Like, right? People want to be stepped on. They want a villain to hate. They need it. They fucking need it. They need someone to tell them what to do. They need someone to draw the lines of who the good and the bad are, and they need to know who to point their fingers at, right? And it's just, I don't know. I like, it's a strange compulsion. I don't know why people need that. I don't know why you need that stress that like anger brings you in your life of like people that you don't know, you couldn't know, you'll never know, and they don't know you. I don't know why you need that, but a lot of people evidently do. And I think it's part of this. I just think it's a game like this, especially this Andrew Tate thing. It's just a fucking game. It's like if people didn't have Andrew Tates in their life, they'd figure out who the real enemy is. And the real enemy can't let you know that. So they give you Andrew Tate.
I agree with that.
So it's just sad, man. Like, it's just people are low. They're just like they're low creatures, and they need an effigy. It's crazy. They can't just go to the local theater and go to a they can't just go to a screening of Basketball.
No, that would be too much joy. I'm reading that book I've probably mentioned on the podcast about the Salem witch trials, and it's like Me Too times 1,000. Everybody always says that it's like in the popular imagination, it's this idea that the burned witches are innocents, and you know, that this is an assault on women in some way. But the reality is that it was like Me Too style shit, where it was just three lying girls that just straight up, like it was just these little girls, like, well, not all little, some of basically it was like a lie contagion where little girls were lying about a thing, very obviously lying about a thing. Everybody could see they were lying about a thing, but because people wanted to believe the worst about each other, they just let the lie ride. So these girls would like, their stories were inconsistent. They would accuse people that didn't make any fucking sense, but it was people that that the whole town was like, yeah, this dude fucking sucks. You know what I mean? Like, let's get rid of this dude. So they didn't care that these girls were manifestly lying. And it was like, you want to talk about effigies. There was people that, like, for example, at one point the girls shifted gears and blamed a new dude. And they said, well, how do you know he's in concert with the devil? And they said, oh, he killed 13 people. And then they listed the 13 people. They were all people who were like kicked in the head by mules or like fell down wells or whatever. But people, you know, people missed their family members and didn't like this dude. So even though there was no way that this dude could have bewitched a, you know, this guy to get gangrene from stepping on a nail or whatever, they still said, yeah, you know what? It could happen. You know, like, that dude does suck. They just went after him.
Yeah.
So yeah,
they said this is yeah, more fun.
That's exactly what they said. They said, you know what? We're at carrying capacity for kind of goodwill. It's time to blow it up. Let's just harm each other. So
yeah,
whatever it is. Yeah. People want to hurt each other and we see it all the time. And to that end, I'm joining Hustlers University. Well, okay, so here's the thing. This sort of shit is really crooked. He was evicted from the Big Brother house in 2016 when a video emerged of him hitting a woman with a belt. Well, a second, released shortly after, showed him telling a different woman to count the bruises he apparently caused her. Okay, so you read that and you go, oh, you're not supposed to hit women with belts. That's not good, right?
No, definitely not.
Both he and the women deny abuse, saying that was everybody involved said it was consensual. The women are like, no, we were engaged in rough sex.
Oh.
Right.
Oh.
So what?
That's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. So it's like, this dude might be a scumbag, but we don't got to lie. You know what I'm saying? Like, stop with the lies. I'm trying to find this shit about him being a human trafficker in Romania. I don't see that. It seems like a high risk behavior to engage in if you already have money, but
especially if you're going to go on television.
Yeah, yo, this is why I get very mad at people when they assume the worst about people and they ride with the lies, because it's like, wait a second. So you believe that this person was living their life out in the open. What? Like, going to bed every night, waking up in like a cold sweat, being like, is tonight the night they get me? People don't do that. Like, I mean, even the person with the most, with the strongest compulsion to be out in front of people, you got to be a real, I guess on the extreme end of monstrosity, you run into that, right? Like, maybe there's a dude who believes he's invincible. The average person does not. Average person is
she's
not like that. Hold on. Okay. Here we go. Here's some relevant news. Tate, an ardent supporter of former President Donald Trump, gained a following in far right pockets of social media and met with Trump Jr. at Trump Tower. That's how this article leads. It is. Look, let's transition into Sam Harris because this is relevant. Trump derangement syndrome is the most palpable derangement syndrome I've seen in my life. Witnessed I was a conscious enough person to witness some of the Bush derangement syndrome where.
Oh yeah. A lot of that, but there was Clinton derangement syndrome. Clinton derangement syndrome that might be the longest lasting derangement syndrome. Like, there are people that like Clinton, people hated Bill, right? And then when Hillary became, what was she, like, Senate? What was she, something from New York? People hated her ass then. And people, like, still get juice out of blaming the Clintons for everything.
So we saw Clinton. I mean, there is Hillary Clinton derangement syndrome, no doubt. You know what I mean? That's real shit. We have it. So we can speak with authority. Like, when I
just think it's funny to blame everything on a 65-year-old woman.
When I see her, I get irate. I go, oh, this bitch again, man.
Yeah.
So, but Obama derangement syndrome was real. Witness that in real time, right? Like there was people that just,
yeah, but that was that like as palpable as the other ones though? I feel like even like the most like people that hate, like even the most like right wing Fox News, like prime time, like they definitely were Obama deranged, but I don't think anyone really took, everyone knew that they were like, everyone was like, yeah, stop.
Yes. So that's what I was going to say. There was these incidents where it felt so fringy and stupid and manufactured, but that's part of the derangement. So like, for example, like when they were trying to get him on a suit, you know what I mean? They'd be like, he wore a cream colored suit. You know what I mean? Now,
yeah,
it's obviously you're trying to manufacture something. You're trying to gin up some type of bullshit. But then there was other ones like, you know, like they would go, I don't know if people remember this. The media would go to like the farthest flung reaches of like Bayou, Louisiana, and find somebody with a racist signage outside their home that is in the woods. And they would take a fucking still of this and be like, this is proof that that there is a strong racist agenda against Obama. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm certain that there was a great amount of racist pushback to Obama. In fact, sure, I was around for it and I contributed in my own ways. But you're supposed to laugh at that, Eric. I didn't actually join a hate. group. So, but here's the thing. That's all real. But it's not represented by the lunatic that no one pays attention to in the woods. And that's the type of like the media trying to make a visually compelling mania versus the more low key, I don't know about this guy sort of look like the racism that can't be, you can't hang anything on it. Right. Like, which is much more the racism that was present. So whatever. Trump outdoes them all. People have lost their fucking minds.
Yeah.
And
well, it's also, I think is part of it that Trump is just like, he's just so detestable. Like he's just like, he's so easy. Like he's awful to look at. And like, he speaks like a dumb scumbag. Like he's just so easy to hate. He doesn't make a great case for himself.
Oh no, no. I mean, he's,
you know, like, I mean, but no, but yeah. I mean, the fact that, I mean, I don't know if you've been paying attention. The whole whatever is happening with that raid or whatever, it's somehow being connected. They're saying that it's something to do that, like the Steele dossier played into it in some way. And it's like,
gotta let it go, homie. Gotta let it go.
You gotta let it go. Stop. But no, I mean, I've said this for a long time. I think truly they want him back. Like they need him. They can't live without him. They know that they would get stomped if it was like DeSantis or something. So they need him back. But go on with your larger point about Trump derangement.
So did you keep up with the Sam Harris thing at all?
No, I didn't. See, Sam Harris is another one of these guys that I don't know if I could pick him out of a lineup.
Okay, so Sam Harris, do you know who he is? Do you know what he does? Are you familiar with his? Like, because here's the deal.
Yeah, vaguely. Yeah, he's like a
He's a public intellectual, but
he's just. He's just one of these guys.
Nailed it. He's one of these guys. Now, here's the deal, everybody. I'm tired of people pretending to know why a thing is bad. Every time I see somebody come out against Ayn Rand, I just want to say, have you ever read it? Like, have you ever in your life read it? It's the same way that, like, I just finished the Douglas Murray book, right? And
the universe book. What was it? Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Is that Douglas Murray? Douglas Adams. Sorry.
Douglas Murray is a talking head that you've seen a million times. He's British and he speaks as though he's highly educated. Like his accent is one that Americans go, oh, this guy must be smart. Right. So
yeah.
Oh, as it turns out, he did go to Eton. Okay. Anyway, the he's unfortunate for the left because he is a conservative thinker and author who happens to be gay as hell. So he is also smarter than most of his critics, which is rough on those people. Anyway, he's kind of like, he's got a Hitchens-esque sort of thing. So I just finished his book. It's completely inoffensive. It's called The War on the West, and it's just about the last few years and kind of like the mind virus that you could say that exists or whatever, where it's it's pointing out a lot of stuff that maybe some people could say is cherry picked and fringe, but then it's just an argument that the West is not necessarily as bad as you're being sold by the popular culture, right? That if it is this bad, what would you see as a viable alternative? China, right? So like,
well, it's not even just that. It's like, I would say to people that shit on the quote unquote West, however you want to define that, is like, you will do that in one breath, but also celebrate it in another breath.
Yeah.
Like, well, there's, how many times does, someone that, fancies themselves as, anti-statist or whatever, also at the same time, like, celebrate the new whatever Marvel movie or fucking, Beyonce album or something. Like, we love the culture that it produces, but we also shit on it.
I mean, he doesn't put too fine a point on this, or he doesn't hammer it at least, but the guys like Soul do, where it's like, when you're judging the West as being inhumane or racist or any, you're literally using a Western framework of thinking to arrive at that idea, which you would not be afforded if you lived, for example, in China. So, and I don't mean afforded like the state wouldn't allow you. I mean, the cultural norms, you would be very, very outside of the cultural norms to arrive at those thoughts. And most of us are not exceptional people. You would not arrive at those thoughts. You're arriving at those thoughts because, the Enlightenment, because the idea of civil liberties, which is a Western idea. Like, these are, you only can criticize these things using the language of the thing. So these are all, people can take these criticisms seriously, not seriously. I don't give a fuck. Douglas Murray isn't my boyfriend. I don't give a shit. I just read his book because it was on audiobook. Now,
Sam Harris was the guy who got yelled at by Affleck, right? Okay.
So we're going to get there in 1 second. This is all to say that Douglas Murray, Sam Harris, like Douglas Murray, is a guy that many people believe they know this person's viewpoints, but have never read or otherwise consumed anything from this person. So they have these wild ideas of what this person's about. Like we saw with Jordan Peterson on a more extreme level the last few years, right? So all this is to say, Sam Harris was one of the Four Horsemen. That's what they were called. That was Dawkins, Hitchens. I always forget the other guy, and Harris. I forget the other guy's fucking name every time. Anyway, they were the atheists, the new atheism, wrote books in the same time frame, different approaches. Harris was seen as the lesser thinker for a while. Now he's been around so long and has been, he said he's a pretty measured guy typically. And
Daniel Dennett.
Daniel Dennett. Yes. Thank you.
Never heard of this guy in my life.
So these are the fellas that you used to go to if you were like listening to Rush and were fucking 17 and you thought God was just so fucking gay, right? And these were the dudes that you fucking sought out. Now, Dawkins is over everybody's head. Hitchens is kind of a little glib for some people. Harris had an audience, whatever. Anyway, I love Harris. His podcast I find so relaxing. He's got a perfect speaking voice. I don't always agree with him. And he also is very boring on the subject of free will. It's like torture listening to him speak about free will. But, you know, his criticisms, he was one of the fellas that was very critical of Islam. Now, for our listeners who are young or just every year they just like purged, they put their memory into the recycle bin of their mind's computer and they just empty it. People used to fight about Islam a lot. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
People got bored of it.
Well, ISIS kind of fell off and then people stopped caring.
Harris was very critical. He has been misquoted in a very malicious way by everyone, including people like Glenn Greenwald, to say that we should nuke the Middle East. Harris did not suggest that in any real way. I've said this on this podcast. I had to go and read this because I was like, that seems crazy. He's calling for genocide? That's interesting. Yeah,
feels like a bad idea.
It was a thought experiment in the exact same way, and I've said this on this podcast, in the exact same way that Peter Singer suggests that we should be able to kill children up to 3 years of age. It's not a sincere belief.
It's not
a question for people. Like, oh, hey, if you're...
The answer is yes. Get these kids the fuck out of here.
Values are A. What do they call it? It's Socratic thinking, right? So it's like let's get to the core value that you say that this is based in. Does it hold up under this scrutiny? Okay, let's go. Anyway, Sam Harris has been increasingly Trump deranged. He fell out with like the Weinsteins and all the sort of intellectual dark web people.
Harvey?
Weinstein, pardon me. He fell out with these people because he is like the one of them that is really like can't get over Trump. And he's hung up on the strangest parts. He's hung up on Trump University, which is like the craziest fucking who gives a goddamn. But
I forgot about that one.
But his quote on the podcast Trigonometry the other day was, there's nothing in Hunter Biden's laptop that supersedes the corruption that we know Trump is guilty of. I don't care if there was dead children in Hunter Biden's basement. It's more important that this guy is not president. He says, and this is the part that like the right wingers are saying, he said the quiet part out loud. They're all saying this because he said,
I love that.
The obstruction of that news item on Hunter Biden's laptop about Hunter Biden's laptop is a left-wing conspiracy to prevent Donald Trump's election. And then in the same beat, he says, but I believe that that was justified. Now, it's important to realize that Sam Harris, though he is technically, as Ben Shapiro would say, of the left, technically, he is not. He doesn't have any insight into, like, he wouldn't actually be invited to that conspiracy. You understand? Like, he's not like he had any like knowledge of this, but he's saying what we all kind of know was that big media said, no, 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 we're not going to validate this. We're going to hide it.
Right.
And we can't have a surprise come up and jam up our man Biden. Now they're kicking themselves because they really need Trump for their ratings. But for Harris to say what we all know, this was a conspiracy, but I don't care, has a lot of people very disappointed in him. I don't care about that because he's not my boyfriend. I would just say that I think that even clear thinkers can, in moments of being scared, act like little bitches. So,
yeah. Well, but what's that? Specific to Sam Harris necessarily, where I always hear people, it's whataboutism. They're always whatabouting. Whenever if there's any criticism of Biden or the Hunter laptop thing, it's always like, well, what about Don Jr.? It's like, well, wait a second. Like, us talking about the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop and perhaps strange sort of dealings with Ukrainian gas companies. Like, this is a separate issue from Donald Trump. Like, they don't belong necessarily in the same breath. Like, they're only in the same breath in the sense that they were both heads of state, Trump and Biden. That's the only commonality, and we're talking about their progeny. So, why can't we take the Hunter laptop thing seriously? And also Donald Trump being a shady businessman. Like, sure, that's also relevant. That's another conversation, though. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Not allowed to have two conversations.
It's so strange. No. I want to know. I think Biden in the phone as pedo Peter is worthy of some scrutiny. No.
Everybody knows that the average person can only have one conversation a day.
It's so strange because it's like a lot of people in my life, close family members, friends. I know a lot. You do too. We know lots of people who have the Trump derangement, right? Yeah. You know, I was talking to my mom the other day, and they were like, "If he is found to be a criminal, does that mean that they can undo his presidency and get rid of his Supreme Court picks?" And I was like, "Mom, you got to stop. You got to stop with this nonsense. We know lots of people who are Trump deranged. I don't know why we can't also, like, I'm not saying you got to be deranged about Biden. I think no derangement is required, but I just think that that's a worthy conversation to have. What was going on with this guy's laptop? What's the deal? Why aren't we talking about it? It's so weird. It's so fucking weird. Why can't we just have two? Why can't we save the Trump conversation for 5 p.m. and have the Hunter conversation at 4
can't
p.m.?
Can't do it.
We'll get to it.
Like that.
It's just weird. It's like I want to say to Sam Harris, why are you bringing up Trump when we're talking about Biden? We're talking about a different thing. What happened to your brain that you can't scrutinize someone because this other guy exists? I guess what it is that they feel like Biden is the only actual alternative to Trump, right? I mean, like, as it stands right now, like, if they're likely to be the two people that run against each other in 2024, there's only one real alternative to the great Satan, Donald Trump, and it is this guy Biden. And that means we have to completely back off. We have to completely just not scrutinize. We have to just completely become agnostic to anything this man does, because he's the only real thing keeping this other bad thing out of the White House. I guess that's the logic, right? And it's just, to me, that's so self-defeating, because it's like, no, wait, why are we stuck with Joe Biden? If he sucks, and there's lots of ammo and there's lots of baggage there to make the case that he sucks, are you telling me there's really nobody else? Like, there's just nothing we have to go with this guy. He's beyond all scrutiny because he's the only person that can go against Don. Is that what we're saying?
Look at what they're doing to Yang because he had the audacity to say that the two-party system is broken. It's crazy. I'm looking at, like, normal human beings that have jobs that fucking, like, go – like, families – who are devoting their online life to trying to discredit Andrew Yang because he wants a viable third party. Imagine being so broken an individual that you are sold on the practicalities of things that are just abuse. You know what I mean? Like, hey man, it's never going to be anything but a two-party system. So you really got to get on your knees and suck that fucking dick now, bro. And it's like, okay. Sorry. I'll do that. Like, whose brain is so terrified of, what happens if we try to get a third party? Oh, well, I'll tell you, Democrats will lose for the next fucking, probably at least two election cycles. What happens after that? Well, there is no after that, because if Democrats lose, it's the end of the world. It's like, okay, well, now you're not thinking you're not thinking clearly at all. You know what I mean? Like, you're just being a child. So how are we supposed to move forward?
I mean, I wish the Democratic Party would fucking dissolve. Come on.
You just marked yourself for death, Eric. Of all the things.
I mean, listen, I wish.
Of all the things. All the fucking Andrew Tate-isms that you've said on this fucking podcast. All the like, like we should drop women from helicopters. All that shit is not going to get you in as nearly as much trouble as suggesting that the Democrats are maybe due for a reform. You're dead.
I mean, welcome to the war room, motherfucker. Welcome to the fucking party. Look, it's strange, man. I don't understand. Like, I've never seen in the way that like Trump derangement syndrome is like the most insane. I've never seen so much talking out of both sides of our mouth without being able to like actually acknowledge it. Like, I don't know how, like, because people that will shit on Yang or shit on the notion of third party, like, they will acknowledge that the Democrats suck. They will acknowledge that Biden hasn't really done much for them. So it's like, what you're asking me is to forever be pledged to a party that you acknowledge sucks and that there's never any room for anything else or any, like, there's no room for it, because what it would mean is sacrificing to the Republicans, which, by the way, I don't even think is necessarily true. People often cast the third party as the spoiler party for Trump. I don't, or for the Republicans. I don't buy that. I think it can easily, third parties can easily spoil the Republicans, and they have in the past. Look at a guy like Ross Perot. You know, asking me to be a simp for a party that doesn't give a fuck about me, that doesn't push forth any type of anything that can benefit people like me or like, I don't understand, like, what is my incentive? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I guess what they would say is, well, you got to keep Donald Trump away. And it's like, man, listen, nobody wants a fucking right-wing loon. I'm not into that idea. But you got to give me something more, man. Like, you just, like, I don't understand how we can just shit on anything that might be an alternative to the shit we have now and then also say that the shit we have now sucks. Like, something's got to, you got to give some fucking, some leeway on one of these angles. It's just not going to work. And it's like, it might work if it's against Trump because you've created this uber boogeyman monster, right? But, you know, you get a fucking middling centrist Republican in there, like a Mitt Romney or some shit, and it's just not gonna stick, man. It's not gonna this monster making when it comes to Trump, they've tried to apply that to other people and it doesn't work. Trump is a unique sort of detestable public figure.
I mean, they're going to try it on DeSantis, and it's like, God, it's going to brick. He's just not that extreme. He's trying to be extreme for our benefit, and it's not landing.
I mean, no, here's the thing. It will work for that ilk, right? Like, that sort of dyed-in-the-wool Dem CNN person, progressive, like that side of the spectrum, it totally will work. They will buy that DeSantis is the great Satan, much like Donald Trump. What it's not going to work on is middling Republicans, independents, people, the other people that you need, you know, like if you want to win, if you want to have enough numbers, it's not going to work on them. Independents, middling Republicans, you can probably pry them away from Donald Trump. You did 2 years ago, but you're not against DeSantis. Nah, I bet independents, libertarians, centrist Republicans, I bet they would be pretty comfortable with a guy like DeSantis.
100%.
Yeah.
DeSantis is not scaring anybody who's actually looking at it. They'd go, oh, so DeSantis is like Mitt Romney if Mitt Romney was like kind of a dick. You know what I mean? He's not scary.
Well, but he does that thing where he knows how to play into that culture war vein that Trump knew how, you know what I mean? With all that, like the Stop Woke Act and shit like that. He knows how to rally a Fox News audience.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Right. So he is he's not like, who's the Yunkin or whatever. It's not, he's not quite as mild. Like, he does sort of play that game, but again, you're not, I don't think you're really going to be able to apply the Trump shit to him. I mean, but they'll try, and maybe they will. Who knows? I don't know. But, you know, it would be an easier road for the Democrats if they were effective, you know, if they actually fucking not helped people, right? No, I guess not. I guess not. And that's the kind of the really sad place we've arrived in this decade, is that, like, no, we're going to have politicians that don't even try and just guilt you into voting for them. Sucks, man.
Yeah, everybody, buy my bracelets. I'm going to get evicted.
Well, hey, podcast listener. My name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show, wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, what? Like, what? Like, we're literally in a GoFundMe worldview. You know what I'm saying? Like,
GoFundMe worldview. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Everything, nothing is on its own merits. It's, hey, could you please help me out? Or in Democrat world, oh, hey, I mean, you know, the alternative is like the end of human civilization.
Yeah. Yeah.
How fucking corny is that people believe that? You think that, like,
People believed it.
Oh, I know, our parents.
Yeah.
Okay. Last order of business. But listen, instead of an overtime, I'm going to need you to build something today.
Build something.
Before you go to bed, I was struggling with it. I couldn't figure it out. We need a soundboard, and I want to do a special overtime where it's just dueling soundboards. Like, I have one, you have one. Because
how does that work?
So both of our I saw this online. Everybody, Eric and I are both using a Focusrite Scarlett preamp. And basically, it is the one that every corny white podcaster has. I saw it online the other day, referred to as the Nike Dunks of, of sound equipment. And that's entirely accurate. But you and I, Eric, should both be able to, even with your, you have one input, like a real pussy. Is that right?
One input.
All right. Figure this out. Figure out where I can get the sound device, because Ben Shapiro read Bridget Fetasy's I Regret Being a Slut essay, and he read it out loud. And Ben Shapiro saying things like, you know, I was wrong. I was being used by men. And like, is so fucking funny.
And that's designed for hacky, yes, comedian, exactly. Podcasts.
And we are that above all things.
We can't be funny on our own merit. So we'll just get Ben Shapiro being like, I love being abused by other men.
So wait,
I love a fist in my asshole.
Like our Ian episode.
Yeah, I think so. I think it had a pretty positive response. It was a fun one.
I enjoyed the shit out of it. But somebody told me that Ian sounds like Bart Simpson, and they couldn't enjoy it. But I got a big kick out of it. I thought it was a good conversation.
Yeah, I thought it was good too. I mean, I don't know. Should we go full Opie and Anthony and just like have comedian guests on? If we can get people on the show, I mean, they can come on the show.
I mean, we probably get more listeners than some of their podcasts, not Ian's, but some of these fellas out here who are genuinely funny, but just haven't like landed on podcasting, we probably just by virtue of the fact that we've been doing it for a long time have better numbers. So we could probably get them on. Andrew, I'm going to start with Andrew Tate. But
no, he's way eclipsed us.
I mean, maybe not anymore. He's on that Alex Jones shit. But
what does it mean? I don't understand. When I look at our stats, mm-hmm. right, there's total downloads and then there's listeners.
Yeah, don't discuss it online because we need to maintain our lies. But
no, I'm not going to give the specific number, but I'm just like, what's the difference? It seems like our listener, like listeners, is like half of total downloads.
Yeah, so that, hold on, let's see. Downloads.
I don't know. I'm confused. And I think, I wonder what, is this in the past 30 days? What is the metric here?
That's the thing. If that's per episode, like if that's our episode averages. Okay, sorry, everybody. This is going to sound really boring for a second. It doesn't make sense that they would take a month-long aggregator for one number and a week-to-week aggregator for the other. So let's say that those are, because they stack them on top of each other. So let's say that those are both weekly. If those are both weekly, we fucking rule, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Unique. Hold on.
Yeah, I don't, I'm trying to parse these two things and I don't really, which is the one that matters?
That's a good question.
does any of this matter? I mean, that's the real trick is that none of this shit fucking matters. I don't know. I mean, our numbers are fine. I'm happy with where we're at. I think we're chilling, but more people need to get on that, get on that Patreon tip. You need to pony up here. I was thinking about we should do another tier of bonus episodes where we do advice episodes.
Oh, we really gotta. This was supposed to be a call-in episode. Every time we think we're gonna do a call-in episode, we just don't. What's going on?
I know. We got to get back on the stick. Maybe we'll. Do people feel gypped if we do a Patreon call-in? Do people feel gypped?
I don't know. Is gypped racist? I can't tell.
Oh, it might be.
I couldn't give a goddamn. Everybody knows. It's so stupid. Everybody knows what somebody means.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm confused. I see. This is the thing. People might feel. What's the PC version of gypped? They might feel grifted out of being. You know, they call in. They want to hear their voice on the show, and then they're on a Patreon. Which is only accessible to a small portion of our, well, no, it's accessible to everybody, but only a portion of the audience chooses to engage with that. But that's on you. You know, you want to hear your fucking voice on the Patreon, you gotta pay the piper. I mean, maybe we could have more guests on the show, you know, why not? I don't see why not. I mean, I just kind of reached out to Ian as like a sort of like a Hail Mary thing. Like I didn't think he was actually going to respond and then he did. And so it just all just kind of came together that way. But, you know, people can send us, suggestions. Who do you want on the show? Andrew Tate? He's not going to do it.
You, what about, Ben Shapiro, watching behind the green door in real time and just talking to us about the whole thing.
These fish are too big, man. We need you got to start smaller, right? And then you can climb the ladder. I mean, who's the most? I mean, honestly, the most famous person. I mean, it might have been fucking Ian Fidance. Oh, sure. You know, like he's blown up. Who's the biggest name we could have on this show?
I couldn't say.
Right? Like I don't even know. Like I bet he looked at like the retweets we got in terms of that episode and went, "Oh, Jesus, I lowered myself to be on that shit. What have I done?" Yeah, we were the beneficiaries of that episode for sure.
Let me discuss this Ben Shapiro thing.
Yeah, let's go into the Ben Shapiro thing
Do you know who Bridget Fetasy is?
God, this is just another one of those names.
Right. It's exactly right. So everybody, Bridget Fetasy is, she is a comedian. She used to write for Playboy. She's kind of like in that sex positive, sort of like, you know, I'm joking about how I was a waitress and also a whore, like that sort of thing.
Oh, she's on Red Scare.
Nope. But she's like, she does the podcast circuit. Her shit has been kind of a pivot to not, if I said she tilted to the right now, that would be incorrect. She's just kind of abandoned her relationship with progressives.
I'm looking up her Wiki feet profile.
How's her feet look?
Well, hang on. I gotta Bridget Fetisi Wiki feet. Let's see here. Oh, there she is. She's got a 5-star beautiful feet.
Shit.
They all do. These foot fetishists have no discerning. They can't discern between good feet and bad feet. They're fine. I'm looking at them. They're fine.
People that love feet. You know what? That's crazy, though, because I love breasts. And I can say, like, you know, my girlfriend, great breasts. Lady at the train station, not great breasts. Right? So like, what is the – you know what I'm saying? What's going on here?
Well, I think – well, okay. So I think with feet, right, is there – like, it's very socially acceptable – to talk about how much you love boobs, right? But with feet, it's almost like it's a little bit of like forbidden for like it's a little, I mean, like, I don't know, I don't think anyone on earth should be ashamed of liking feet out here in 2022, but maybe because it has that connotation of like, ooh, like this is a fetish or whatever, that maybe you're less discerning. I don't know.
Listen, Ben Shapiro is a slut. so anyway, everyone, here's this summation. Bridget Fetisi used to give, like, I guess, dating, sex, et cetera, advice as the woman's perspective for Playboy.com. She kind of was in that Chelsea Handler, like, what a whore I am.
Yeah.
And now
it's a gimmick as old as time.
And now she's going with the other gimmick, which is I regret it. I wish that I had been a tradcath. Like, she's basically saying that she used to convince herself that she was empowered by her relationships with men, which were short and I guess you could argue meaningless or whatever she does. But now she realizes that she was that it was all cope, and she was really an unhappy person and felt like she was always playing second fiddle, which she describes her bottom, like her bottom out point, which I think is kind of you could feel this being somebody's bottom. She gets a text from a guy that she was on again, off again with that says, you know, I love you so much, thinking of you. And then a second later, sorry, wrong person. I could see that being somebody's bottom. Like, if you're like trying to be like, I'm just a hoe having fun, I don't give a fuck. Like, and then, you know, I could see it. But here's the thing. Ben Shapiro was touched by this.
Well, does just real quick, does she know that she has 6 stars on, no, 5 stars on WikiFeet?
You know what? Drop her a line.
That would lift me out of the gutter.
to ask her or to send that over. So here's the thing. I was moved not by the essay, but I was really moved by the comments that I found on the essay online. Like, people talking about it on these YouTube comments, et cetera. I had no idea so many women were walking around with this burden of, I thought I was lit, but I was just refuse. Eric, is a slutty period really something to, when do you feel bad about that in your life? Do you feel bad about that? Certainly not in your 40s, right? You feel bad about that on the latter side of your 20s, or maybe your mid 30s, when you're thinking about like, why didn't I have children or whatever the fuck, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You start thinking like, oh, you know, like I sucked off 3 guys at the fucking, at the Outback Steakhouse that we worked at, and I could have dated one. You know what I mean? Maybe we could have had a future, me and Merle, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And,
He's regional manager.
He's regional manager. He was always nice to me. He could have supplied a life, but instead I fucked him and his two closest homies. And now nobody in my town will fuck with me because I'm damaged goods or whatever. Like, but it's certainly not people in their 40s, right? Who are over all that shit and are just thinking, you know, I don't want to die in poverty. I'm going to just work on my retirement now. Right.
Yeah. I mean, listen, everyone's got regrets in life. Like don't dwell on it too much. That's my only advice.
I mean, good enough. I was,
you know, like, what is there really to, it's what happened happens. Take the lessons of the past and apply them to the future. Keep it moving.
Also, if you can, yeah, if you can be aware, oh, this is not how I wish to progress in the future. Haven't you passed the test then? Aren't you empowered at that point to just move forward in whatever way that you want? Haven't you won?
Well, I guess I was going to say, I looked up her Patreon. Ours is better. Yeesh. I was going to say that, you know, it is like, yes, what you're saying, yes. But I think maybe there's like when you reach a certain age, like you said, mid-30s or so, there is a tinge of like, I wish I had this revelation a bit sooner, right? Like there's years of your youth behind you where you could have been. So like, I can understand that being a hill to get, but like, you gotta, I don't know. You gotta have just fucking, you gotta have some perspective. Like, I don't know how old she is. I would say she's probably 35. You're still very young. Keep it going.
Keep it going. Maybe adopt or just get a couple dogs and, you know,
and like, just, I don't think people really overthink dating. Like it's not that hard to go find someone. They're out there. But wait, but what was the, you still got to give me the Ben Shapiro shit.
Oh, he is just on some traditional, like he's met Bridget Fetasy, said she was nice, whatever. And he said, you know, this is meaningful for young women and blah, blah, blah. He's basically just selling like traditional conservatism, like through, we talked about it. There's nothing that the right loves more than a black guy that agrees with them. Like nothing in this entire
world. Oh, yeah.
And,
oh,
and
God.
Likewise, there, which actually to me kind of illustrates that these ideas are not as racist as people think. They're just purely ideological. They're not like really rooted in this kind of like very crude idea that we have race where it's this visual thing where it's like, oh, I don't like black guys. It's like, well, no, this guy loves black guys as long as you agree with him. You know what I mean? And that's how trads feel about women is, you know, like, I don't know, it's kind of annoying sluts. Oh, wait, this one agrees with me. She's pretty lit. You know what I mean?
Well, but it's also the same way that the lefties think about black people, right? I mean, how many fact, of yeah. the shit libs were calling Clarence Thomas the N-word?
That was like, if that wasn't a psyop, then it's oh, man.
It was all Nick Mullen. It had to be. No one could be that autistic. Right? Come on.
Does Clarence Thomas have a Instagram? Does he have a TikTok?
Does he have a TikTok?
I'd like to see what the comments are.
I mean, I would presume no. But I don't know. You'd be surprised. I mean, George W. Bush has a fucking TikTok.
He's the best.
Clarence Thomas. I'm Googling Clarence Thomas TikTok. Let's see. No. Discover Clarence Thomas's popular videos on TikTok. Mm-hmm.
Black men, we have a serious, serious
I can't do it. I can't do the lecturing TikToks.
They're the worst. all right. Let us cut for now.
We won't do overtime this, but yeah, we won't do overtime, but we'll do a...
Show me how to make a soundboard, please.
Oh, you are asking the wrong fucking
You're a producer,
guy. I don't know how to do
that. You're the producer of the show. Figure it out.
I got a, what do you mean? Like a physical soundboard? Like a thing that I can hold?
No. Like something I can put on my phone and then plug in the phone into the separate, input on my, preamp where I can just hit a button and it'll go like, you know, be like, they would use me in their cars. They would use me in alleys. You know what I mean? Like just.
They would pin me against the wall at parties. And they would enter my vagina with their fingers. I don't know how to like soundboards, like E-bombs world,
yes,
where it was
yes,
like the Arnold
E-bombs,
soundboard.
Yes.
And you prank phone call with the E-bombs world soundboards.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we could. I mean, listen. I don't know how to do that. But wait, so you want it on your phone? What if you just go to the app store and just search soundboard?
I did. It was complicated. I'm not signed into my Apple thing, so it's just hell. I'm just in hell.
Meme soundboard 2000. Wait, what is this? Meme soundboard 2016 to 2022. We can get memes, but I don't know. We want a feature where we can put our own sounds on.
Yes.
There.
Yeah.
Soundboard Studio. Soundboard for live shows.
We don't need an app that just says "Got him." We don't need that.
Let's see. Would this one not work? Advanced track settings. This one might work. All right. We'll have to do some digging. Listen, either way, no overtime this week, but we'll do a proper bonus episode. Perhaps with messages. Listen, I would love to figure out how to plug the phone in so we can have live phone calls. I would fucking love
that. You can do this. This is doable.
So what I would need a new little mixer thing.
Call Andrew.
See, that's the thing. Like if I could get another one of these mixer things that could plug my phone into it, or you know what, do I have other, there's another hole here.
Yeah. Okay.
I might just need the cable.
God damn it. Call Andrew.
No, look, yeah, there's two knobs. One for a microphone, one for a guitar.
Yes. Now call Andrew.
So what if I plug the phone into the guitar
That's
one?
That's the idea here. This is what I'm talking about.
But I think all we're missing is the proper cable.
You couldn't you know what? You had a hard time plugging in your headphones today. This is
You're asking the wrong guy. All right, folks. I don't know. I hope you like this episode. We will get at you next time. Patreon.com/worstpossibletimeline. You know the deal. At WP Timeline on Twitter. 205-509-9785. Call, message. Maybe we'll do them on Patreon this week. And worstpossibletimeline at gmail.com. That's a place you can go if you'd like.
One of us is going to have a soundboard of She-Hulk. The other one's going to have Ben Shapiro talking about being a slut.
She-Hulk. Oh God.
Goodbye.
We didn't talk. We got to do the She-Hulk Patreon episode.
Oh, that's like a $50 tier.
Yeah, if you want to talk about She-Hulk. Oh.
It is now 2024, and the choice is up to you. Do you listen to good podcasts, or do you listen to bad ones? Well, we've got a suggestion for you. How about you listen to a good podcast for the first time in your miserable life? I can think of one. Overnight Drive. Going strong. 11 years now. The podcast about nothing. Your favorite podcast's favorite podcast. Do you enjoy nothing? So do we. Why don't you come over and check it out and stop listening to other podcasts?